Tom Vilsack, United States Department of Agriculture Secretary.
Perfect. So we want to start off this morning talking about your recent trip to Asia. Can you tell us where you went and what you discussed?
Two stops in the Asian trip, one to Japan to visit with G7 agricultural ministers of the largest economies in the world, discussing agricultural issues ranging from the concern we have about the aging nature of farmers in developed countries to food loss and waste and the need to reduce that and the impact of a changing climate on our ability to meet the ever-increasing food production needs that the world will have over the course of the next 20 to 30 years. Then on to Japan, from Japan to Vietnam, where we discussed a wide range of trade issues, opportunity to highlight the importance of the Trans-Pacific Partnership in getting Congress to take action. By reducing tariffs and by eliminating barriers, we can increase significantly trade in Vietnam. It's currently our 10th leading partner and purchaser of agricultural products, and we think that there's a lot of upside potential. I want to make sure that we continue to maintain that relationship and look for opportunities to grow it.
So I want to talk more about trade in just a moment because we know that's such a big issue here in the U.S. But you know what? You mentioned something else that I thought was very interesting, the aging population of farmers over there. We talk so much about the aging population of farmers here in the U.S. And you know, it's not something I've thought about in other countries. And is it a big problem there as well?
It is. I mean, ministers from Germany, from Italy, from France, from Japan, all expressed concern about the fact that they are seeing a rapidly aging population and the need for us to figure out creative ways to make it easier for young people to get into business and stay in the business. We shared many of the steps that we're taking at USDA from an innovative and creative website and toolkit that outlines a number of programs that are available to assist beginning farmers to our efforts at local and regional foods that will allow smaller sized operations to get started, our microloan program, extending growing seasons, developing new market opportunities. All of that was of interest to the other ministers.
You know, I talk often with Val Dolcini over at the FSA office also, and you mentioned several of the programs, and USDA really does have good programs to help people get into farming. Were the other nations really receptive to learning from those?
Absolutely. And we certainly have a very easy way for them to find out about those programs through our website at USDA.gov and our new and beginning farmer website, which really allows you to essentially tailor the programs to whatever your particular interest is, the size of your operation and what you want to grow and who you want to sell it to. By sort of loading that information into our system, we will give you sort of a customized plan as to how you might be able to take availability of our programs.
So looking into the future, what happens if other nations really don't get on board, especially some of these nations that are already having such a hard time feeding their populations? If they don't get on board and bring in new and younger farmers, what happens and what does that mean for the U.S.?
Well, I think what it does is it basically leads to larger and larger farming operations, and that carries with it I think a serious toll on rural areas and the fact that there won't be as much opportunity because you just simply won't have as many farmers and farm families to support rural towns and rural communities, not just in the United States, but across the globe. And I think the larger the operations, obviously there are greater efficiencies, but there are also challenges in terms of how you basically ensure that agriculture is doing its part to mitigate and adapt to a changing climate, and how it can continue to reduce its emissions in terms of agricultural practices. It puts greater pressure on a fewer number of people to produce more. I think all of us believe that there's great strength and diversity of size and type and method of production and operator to basically provide a mosaic, if you will, of agriculture, not just in this country, but around the world.
Great. So it is important that U.S. is sharing information and helping them to lead their own programs.
That's right. It's important for the United States to constantly provide leadership. I think that's important note to return back to trade for a second. It's important for the United States to exercise leadership in Asia because China is such a heavy and large influence in Asia. If there's not a corresponding large presence to balance off the Chinese influence, then I think China will have greater influence than it should have in that part of the world. And as we deal with labor, environment, market issues, market access issues, and a fair and balanced trading relationship, we want the United States leading the effort to write the rules of that, not necessarily the Chinese.
Right. So let's stay with trade then and go into a little bit more about why you do a lot for trade. And I know that you are constantly working to, like you said, to make sure that the U.S. is a leader in trade. Why is this important to you?
Well, it's important because 20% of all farm income is related to trade, 30% of all sales related to trade. The reality is American farmers are so productive that they produce more than what we need. Alone in the U.S. for our consumers. We are just incredibly productive. And so the question is, what do we do with the excess? Part of it's used for food assistance programs, which helps to build the reputation and the relationships of the U.S. and other countries. But part of it's also used to create export business opportunities. And we know that American agriculture, as we've seen the best 7 years in agricultural trade in the history of the country, we know that that helps to not only support farmers with additional income, but also it helps to basically support over 1 million jobs. And these jobs, in most cases, are higher paying jobs than non-trade related jobs, about 18% higher income for trade related jobs. So better paying jobs and more stable incomes for producers. That's the benefit of trade. And, you know, we want to continue to do more and more of that.
So with that said, then, turning to the TPP and the holding pattern that we seem to be in now with that, what's the latest on that? Do you think, we've had several news reports, people saying it's going to be held for many months, others saying we're trying to get it. What do you see happening, and what do you think that the farmers should be doing?
Well, I think farmers are continuing to indicate their support, and I think that has to continue. They have to strengthen and repeat the message of the importance of trade to the future of agriculture and the future of their operations. A number of studies have shown that this is going to increase exports. It's going to increase farm income, the most recent of which was the Farm Bureau report that showed that exports could increase by $5 billion and farm income by $4 billion with this agreement. So number one is making sure that they educate members of Congress and the Senate about the impact it's going to have on their particular operation and that they do it continually until this matter is ultimately resolved by Congress. I think there is obviously a mix of policy and politics here, and the reality is that we have to get through that process. And once we do, I think the policy will trump the politics, and I think it will be important to show that the American economy is going to grow, the jobs are going to be created, they're better paying jobs as a result. And with that, I think you're ultimately going to see passage of this agreement. But it may take a while, and I think it's going to just have to take consistent advocacy on the part of farmers and on the part of other business interests in the economy. I think it's important that agriculture not be the only one that's carrying the load on the messaging of this.
There have been a couple of ag groups, National Farmers Union for one, that have come out against the TPP as it currently stands. I'm wondering if you've had a chance to look at anything that they've issued, and if so, what you would tell them.
Well, I understand and appreciate that they have an equation that they use in terms of determining whether or not trade's beneficial. But I would just simply take a look at the fact that so much of ag income and so much of the ability to support strong prices is related to our ability to market and sell product. And there are only 5% of America of the world's consumers live in America. And the question is, if you're only going to do business with yourself, it's pretty doggone difficult to do that and be able to have the strong, stable pricing that we've had and experienced over time. We have to make the case to the other 95% of consumers that American products are good, they're safe, they're quality, and they're affordable. And I think when we make that case, there's no question that we sell. And we've seen that time after time after time, particularly in the last 6 or 7 years. So the key here, I think, is to continue to press the case, to continue to take a look at the tremendous opportunities that the Asian market in particular creates with increasing middle classes, middle class that potentially could be 10 times the size of the United States alone in Asia, and underscoring the importance of American leadership. I mean, the reality is if we don't have a TPP agreement, it's not as if status quo remains. Those Asian countries will end up doing agreements with each other, excluding the United States. They'll end up doing agreements with China. And I guarantee you with that agreement will not be one that's beneficial to American producers or American business interests, because China will make sure that we have a more difficult opportunity to access that market rather than an easier opportunity.
All right. And I realize we're just about out of time. So my last question today, of course, I have to ask you about the election. We haven't heard much about agriculture from any of the candidates, and some of the trade issues that we have heard don't seem to be favorable toward agriculture or the TPP either. What can you say about that? Do you have any thoughts as to how agriculture is going to favor however the election ends up going?
Well, I can't really comment about that because this is an official interview in my official capacity because of laws in terms of separating my official capacity from the political world. I just simply say that in the remaining months of the Obama administration, there's going to continue to be a focus on what works and what can benefit and expand opportunity for the American economy and particularly for American farmers. And I think it's my job just to continue to press the case. We have a trade agreement that we know will expand opportunity. We have a trade agreement that is basically supported by most of the commodity groups and most of the farm groups. We just have to continue to educate people. And I think if we do a good enough job of educating people, that eventually our Congress will ratify this agreement. And once that's done, we'll begin to trade more and certainly trade on a much leveler playing field. What people may not realize is the United States has a very open market to the rest of the world, but the rest of the world has found ways to close market opportunities to the U.S., and trade agreements basically allow us to have a leveler playing field, to get rid of those barriers, to get rid of those tariffs. And in fact, this agreement would reduce or eliminate 18,000 of those tariffs or taxes on American products and goods. It's just common sense. We'll sell more if our products are less expensive overseas. And I think with the strength of the American economy, it makes it a little harder for us because the dollar is so much stronger than against other currencies. But in the meantime, we need to figure out ways to continue to reduce those tariffs, continue to provide a science-based system. And if we get that, we'll win more times than not.
All right. Thank you. You know, like I said, I know you're busy, so I really do appreciate your time this morning.